that's right. We're right back here, Short Fastest Gallery, this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I have a real treat for you here today. I've got Denny and Joanne Burrows. They were down there at the Silver Elephant and voting officers for this coming year for the Republican Party. But also, just a few weeks ago, they were in Dallas, Texas, for the opening of the President Bush Library. So we're going to be talking about that this afternoon. Gosh, to hear them talk about it, I wish I'd been there. Sounds like an awesome experience, but not everybody can go. Some of us have to stay here and work, and it certainly is great to have you here, Joanne and Denny Burrows. How you doing today?
Doing just fine.
Just great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just great to have you here. Looks like Gracie has found something she needs to check out over there. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. All right. But, Denny, I want to thank you for your service to our country. You're a Vietnam vet and stayed in, what, till 1992? Retired as a colonel?
Yeah. From 68 to 92, total service.
Well, we appreciate your service very much to our country. And you know, we have so many. In fact, you still have a son that's in the military, right, Joanne?
We do. We have Todd. He is a major, and he is currently stationed at Fort Bragg. He's served 2 terms in Afghanistan and 2 and 1 in Iraq, and of course 3 years in Korea. So he's all the way.
All the way. That's right. Well, Denny, you know, I know that right now, just to have a little political speak here, I know we've got Benghazi, all the information that's coming out on that. How does that make you feel to look at that as a retired colonel in the Army?
You probably don't want to get me started on that too much, but
we got a couple minutes.
It's sad. I mean, that's the simplest word I can think of. Sad the way it was handled, and especially the way it's been covered up. And yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that it has been covered up.
Right.
And I think some people need to pay, but I don't expect them
to
pay that much. No, right. I really don't.
I think that's that has kind of been the feeling that I've gotten when Jay Carney has said that was a long time ago. And I'm like, excuse me, a long time ago?
8 short months.
Yes, exactly. And yet we have still dealing with this. And of course, you know, we've got military coming home. We've had the sequester cuts coming in there. And of course, you know, South Carolina has such a vested people in the military. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're all interested in looking at that and seeing what's going to happen. But thank God that you were there in Vietnam. And I tell you what, I think instead of saving this for the end, I think we should tell this story in the beginning about when you went out there to Dallas and then you were on your way back and you were wearing your Vietnam veteran hat. Tell us what happened at the airport.
Well, I wear my Vietnam veteran hat all the time. You know, that's just part of me anymore. But my wife and I were sitting in the at the gate. And
5 o'clock in the morning.
5 o'clock in the morning, right. And the lady from that checks you in walked over to us and said, asked if we were on her flight to Charlotte this morning. And we said, yes. She said, may I see your tickets, please?
So very stern, I understand.
Very stern. Didn't crack a smile or anything, and we didn't know what was going on. We thought maybe we had done something wrong, so we handed her our tickets, and she went out, took them over and worked on them for about 20 minutes or so, and then came back over really just before the flight was ready to board and handed us tickets, and she said maybe these will do a little better. And I'll let Joe take over from there.
I think I can quote what she said. She said, the first time you arrived from Vietnam, you were not treated right. And I want to make sure that you're treated right today. And she gave us first class tickets. And it was awesome.
I tell you what, the way you say that, Joey, awesome. I tell you what, that just sends chills up my spine. You know, you had said you'd never flown first class. And it was... That was one thing that was on your bucket list. Is that what you're saying?
Well, one of my things on my bucket list, and my daughter keeps telling me not to say that again. But we were so proud. I probably was arrogant when I got on the plane because I've never had much space, you know, to sit down. And they offered us everything but the trash can. I think it was everything, anything we wanted, they were giving to us, and it was really an experience. And I was very very awesome of it.
Yes, and what airline was that?
It was US Air.
US Air.
And I will tell you this, that on our flight over there and back, I had already noticed that every time they would start loading the plane at each stop, they would say, if any soldier is in uniform, you may load first. And I was already impressed with U.S. Air.
Right. So whether you were in first class or whether you were in coach, you could load first. You know, that really is a sense of respect, isn't it? That is a sense of respect.
It definitely is, yes.
Yes, to be able to do that is pretty awesome. So you enjoyed that. Would you like to do that again, Joanne?
Oh, yes, I'm spoiled, and I can't afford it, though. There are bids in our church. Everybody's taking the highest bid for Denny's hat.
Well, you know, I think that wearing that hat, why do you wear that hat? I think it's great.
Actually, even before it became popular, I found a few hats at the Pick and Save in '96, believe it or not, that said I'm a Vietnam veteran and proud of it. And these were just old stamped hats,
yeah.
The stamped kind, not the embroidered kind. And I bought them back then, and I've been wearing them ever since I got home. I was just proud to have served, and am still just as proud as punch to have served.
Absolutely.
And there's rarely a time when we walk through anywhere that someone does not salute him or say something to him and thank him for his service.
You know, I know, Denny, you were telling me earlier that you never really felt any of the animosity when you came home from Vietnam. But what a change in today's world towards our veterans. I think it's mm-hmm. terrific, but what a change between now and right. Vietnam.
No, I didn't run into any, you know, the spitting and stuff that a lot of the guys that were coming home experienced. Basically just being ignored, though. I mean, now family didn't ignore you.
Sure.
They were happy to have you home, but nobody
and girlfriends.
Nobody paid attention to
girlfriends.
You when you were coming back home, and it's different now.
It is big time different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really big when we send guys off now. I mean, they have big,
it definitely
bigs.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was a big difference. Back then, you know, we were coming and going individually,
mm-hmm.
Just filling in spaces over there. Now they're going over more often as units.
Sure.
And that makes a big difference, too, I think.
Absolutely.
Makes a big difference in how you fight the war, first of all, or wars. But it also makes a difference in how people treat you, I think.
Sure. I think it's I'm glad to have seen the change. And, of course, you know, I've mm-hmm. talked about World War II vets before. And, you know, one of the things that is different that I didn't realize was that our Vietnam veterans came back. But when our World War II vets, a lot of them just, well, I'm going to use the word sneaked out, once they were finished and just wanted to get home. And they mm-hmm. didn't have the parades and they didn't have this type of stuff, but they just were so glad to be home.
Mm-hmm.
There was a difference then.
Denny's stepfather is a World War II vet, one of the few remaining.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I went on a honor flight to Washington, D.C. with a group of World War II vets.
That was fantastic.
Oh, my God. It is absolutely fantastic. And we left out of Columbia early, 5 o'clock, I think it was 6, but anyways, early in the morning, went up there, spent the day, and all day long, all the guys were, all the ones that I was sitting close to, hey, radio lady, I've got a story for you. I had a fabulous time, and I hope at some point to be able to put it all together into a great story. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from dropping pigs out of the sky, I mean, you know, I mean, just some of the stuff you hear. Okay, Denny's got a wild look on his face. Mm-hmm. One of the guys was in charge of procurement and getting and the Japanese wanted meat. Well, they couldn't drop the meat to the ground over there in wherever they were dropping it because it was too hot. So they started dropping live pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, because that's how hard it was. Because yeah. So when pigs fly, they actually did, Joanne.
Parachutes.
Parachutes.
I understand. Poor pigs.
airborne pigs.
Airborne pigs, exactly. But I thought that was, you know, there were just hundreds of stories like that. I really enjoyed it. But we are here with Joanne Burrows and Denny Burrows, and we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about their trip out there and some of the other things. But this is going to be an interesting one, folks. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Hey, we're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I've got Joe Ann and Denny Burrows right here with us. And, of course, over there in 96. Denny, you were just telling me, how many generations have we got family in the military, your family?
In my family, it's four generations straight through.
Straight through.
My great-great-granddad was in the Civil War, but then my great-granddad was not in the military, but before he had a chance to, he was out hunting.
Yes.
And a limb fell on him and killed him, so tree limb. So,
okay.
So he missed out on the military part. He broke the line. So
right.
But my granddad, my father, me, and my son are all combat veterans.
Yeah, and so and your stepdad, and of course,
and my stepdad. Yes. Now.
What your grandfather was actually what in World War One? Wow.
Uh huh.
I bet
my
you
dad
had some
was
great
World War
stories.
II. My stepdad was World War II, and I was in Vietnam, and now my son's been in Afghanistan and Iraq. So.
Yeah, and he's up there in Fort Bragg in North Carolina.
Yes,
so,
he is.
How's his singing career doing?
It's on the slowdown right
it's
now.
It's on the
he's
slowdown.
He's been too busy to do much singing, I think, lately.
Yeah.
But we're trying to urge him on, though.
Now, what does Todd actually do for when the military?
I think he has currently been named the XO for the battalion.
Mm-hmm.
As he tells me, he's so busy he doesn't have time to even swat a fly. So
that's tough. Yeah. That is tough.
Well, battalion XOs are the ones that do the work. You know, the commanders, they get to parade around and look official, but the XOs are always the ones that do the work. That was a job I stayed away from much as possible.
Okay, Denny. Now, I find it interesting that, Joanne, you were a principal at Matthews Elementary School, and Denny, you were assistant principal and assistant superintendent in 96, right?
And principal also.
And principal,
yeah.
Too. So, okay, I missed that. Yeah. Assistant principal, assistant superintendent. So how did two people end up together and end up in these roles in the school system? That's pretty amazing.
What's pretty amazing is how we all ended up together. No, I went to Greenville when I first finished Lander, and I met Denny at church. And he was still in school at the time, but he was majoring in biology, and I was already an elementary major. So that's how it ended up. I got him his first job teaching while he was in Vietnam. I went to the district office. I got him an application. This is how times have changed. They mailed it to him in Vietnam, not knowing if he was going to come back alive. He sent it back, and he came back like 6 days before school began, and he had a job in his hands.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
And she did my interview and everything.
She did your interview.
That's how he got the job.
So you only had 6 days from when you came back from Vietnam to get ready for school.
Less than a
About
week.
6 days, yeah.
And what did you teach when you first came back?
Well, I taught middle school. Well, at that time it was called junior high school, but it was middle school. Taught earth science and physical science my first year, and then life science second year. And I swore if I ever got out of the middle school, I'd never go back again. after that, I got opportunity to teach at Greenwood High School down here, and I jumped on it.
Yeah.
And I never looked back.
Never looked back. That, you know, that's terrific. You know, you have your granddaughter sitting here, and she was saying that she has a social studies test tomorrow. And, you know, one of the things that I worry about, and since I know y'all are passionate about politics and whatnot, what about civics? What about civics?
I think that Madeline, who is our granddaughter sitting here, I think that her teacher is so good with putting things in that like civics that they need. Of course, she has her grandparents, and she knows all about politics, and she knows all about who the leaders are of the local, state, and national because she does hang around us. But
what do you think about just this is an exception, shall mm-hmm. we say here. What do you think about the fact that we don't have that much civics anymore, that it's not something mm-hmm. that we're teaching? I mean, mm-hmm. I find it phenomenal. Kids need to know this kind of stuff.
It worries me, and because I remember having a course in civics, and that's when I became so interested in it. I also worry that they don't do cursive writing anymore. I also I'm teaching my grandchildren cursive writing because I think it's necessary, but that's not taught anymore. So yeah. Times mm-hmm. change.
It do. What do you think, Denny?
Well, I definitely think civics needs to be taught. Much more than it is now. I can remember when I was in junior high school, the boys were required to take civics. The girls were required to take home ec. I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. Even then, I thought
the guys took shop and the girls took home ec.
No, we took civics and the girls took home ec in the district I was in Greenville.
And yes. I took both.
You took both?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Greenwood in 96, I think, did the right thing.
Right.
This was in Greenville.
In Greenville, wow.
And that's... not meant as a cut down to the Greenville education system or anything, but that's the way it used to be a long time ago.
Sure.
But yeah. That was one of the greatest courses I ever took.
Sure.
When I was in school. I remember more about that course than any other I took. And I was definitely not leaning toward economics and civics and this type of stuff when I was younger, but that course made a difference.
Well, you know, it really concerns me because we're looking at taking so many things out of school, whether it's the Pledge of the Allegiance, our morals, and look at what is happening in our world here today, Joanne. I mean, we've just had the three girls that had been in captivity for 10 years. We had the Boston bombing. I mean, we can't seem to go any time at all. And I think it's partially a reflection of the moral fiber of our country is kind of falling apart.
You're right, Anne. And I know when I was principal, the major problems I had was the breakdown of the family. And when the family unit breaks down, there are just so many problems. There's so much going on with children that they can't recover. And I'm not saying that this lady's thing with those three girls who were kidnapped, that was just awful. Mm-hmm. And the more I hear about it, the more I just cringe thinking what kind of life they have had for the last 10 years. But I think it's our duty as citizens, as teachers, as principals, as just people in the in normal walk of life, it's our duty and our responsibility to pick up the slack. Mm-hmm. Where the home is broken down, and we need to pick up the slack, and we need to reach as many young people as we can and try to help them and get them on the right path.
Absolutely. Denny, what do you think here?
Well, I was just going to say amen to what she's saying, because it goes without saying. You know, the family unit has broken down. I mean, it's definitely broken down, and we need to fix it.
Absolutely.
And we need to do everything we can to help those who don't have that family unit to make it. And I want to throw in a plug for my son-in-law and daughter who are helping some kids right now in another school district, just out of their hearts, because the kids just, they don't have a chance, haven't had a chance to experience that family unity in the same way. And they've kind of taken a couple of them under their wings.
They're actually... sponsoring a child tomorrow night, not a child, but it's a junior in high school who wanted to go to the prom and couldn't, and they've made it possible for him to go, and they're even going up to take pictures of him, and it's just made his day. So
they're part of a rite of passage, but I think one of the things we're looking at is that people are saying, well, these things aren't rite of passage. One of the things I love about living in South Carolina, we still are able to hold on to some of these values, and you look at some other parts of the country and they're not.
You're correct about that, and and when I was principal, the thing about the prayer had come up in the school, and I will just tell this frankly, if I saw a class praying before lunch, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But these are the things we're dealing with in this world, and we certainly hope that we can get back to our moral fiber, because without it, I'm not sure that we can turn the corner on some of the things that are happening in our world. Hey, you know what? I'm Ann Eller. I am right here with Denny and Joanne Burroughs. They went to the opening of the new library for George W. Bush out there in Texas. Now, I got to ask you, we only have a few seconds here, and I'll save it till we come back. We're going to be talking about George W. Bush. You know, he really looks so much different, doesn't he, Joanne? He looks so much more relaxed.
He's more relaxed, but he's also older, and I guess I don't look at myself in the mirror enough, but I did notice how much he and Laura had aged over the last few years.
Oh, come on. These pictures that they have of them, they look marvelous, darling.
I think there was a lot of makeup on that one.
No, I was just showing them a picture of the Parade magazine that showed that. Hey, I tell you what, it's time for us to hear South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, Joanne Burrows and Denny Burrows from 96 over there. Now, Joanne, aren't you... What is your role in the Republican Party here? I mean, you are the...
I'm the state executive committeeman. That means every county has an executive committeeman who is part of the voting body of the state party.
Sure.
So I am one of the... I'm the voter for our county.
That's right.
State level.
And you were down there at the Silver Elephant dinner, and then y'all had to vote and elect officers and do all that stuff. Now, are you on an exploratory committee for Governor Haley? No,
I am.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
I am. I am. I'm actually on her. I'm supposed to help her get elected. I can't remember what the title is.
Well, I keep asking her if she's going to run, and she, you know, I know she has these exploratory committees out here and everything.
Yeah, she is going to run, and she is. I'm going to be perfectly frank. She was not my choice when Gresham was running because I was a real Gresham fan, but I've gotten to know Governor Haley. I've met her a number of times. I see her places just about everywhere I go, and I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the way she can take challenges on, and she doesn't back down. As she told us at the state convention this past Saturday, she said, my heels are getting higher and higher, and I will use them if I need to. So I'm not quite sure I quoted her correctly, but that's exactly what she meant.
She's going to kick up her heels.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, yes, okay, so now we know she is running. Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that here today. I think she's running. I've just asked her several times.
Since I was asked to be on her campaign committee.
Exactly. But let's talk a little bit about the library. Now, y'all were asked to go. Y'all got an invitation. Why did you get an invitation?
Well, because back years ago when George W. Bush, the governor, was running for president, I saw him as somebody awesome, and we started supporting him with our campaigning, with what little money we could send to him and that sort of thing. And he, I guess it got the attention of his committee. And so back in the fall, we got a letter saying that we were going to receive an invitation because we had supported him. And I was very excited.
Weren't you afraid that it might be at a date you had something already booked?
I was afraid about that, and I tried to clear out the whole month of April so that I would be sure that we wouldn't have something already planned, but it did work out. So that we found out about the first of the year when it was going to be, and we blocked it all out and made our flights and our reservations and so forth, and it was just something I did not want to miss because it was just something that you'll never get to do again.
Absolutely. That's one in a lifetime type thing. Now, just out of curiosity, Denny, what did you think of the library? What are your impressions of the library?
I was really impressed with it. It's not showy.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we heard some criticism of it. I can't even remember who it was. I think some of the Democrats were criticizing the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not meant to be showy. It's meant to be people-friendly.
Sure.
You know, inside and out. They've got it landscaped with all the plants around it are native Texas plants.
Well, they have wildflowers.
A lot of wildflowers and stuff around it.
And I even read that some of the trees actually came off the Bush's property
there.
They told us.
Yeah. But not only that, but it's big. It's a learning center. I mean, it's not just there for show. It's there for a function.
Sure.
And that's, I think, what's impressed me as much as anything else about it.
Now, one of the big things there, in fact, we had a picture of you standing in front of it, is a big piece out of the Twin Towers. You all looked very small in front of the Twin Towers.
Yeah. There's a whole exhibit on 9/11, and, of course, that was a big part of what happened while President Bush was president, a very tragic part of his presidency, but one that he handled quite well, as I see it. But they did have a big, huge piece of metal that goes all the way to the ceiling, just about, of the Bush Center. And it is actually from the Twin Towers when it burned.
Sure. And then you had a picture of, you looked rather short beside the two, President Bush and his father, right?
Yes. In the back of the library, there is a place that has a little sandwich shop. And then there's an outside place with tables and chairs where you could sit. But there are these huge two statues of them standing side by side, just awesome. And
is that your favorite word?
Yeah, I love that word. They're powerful. And when we stood up to have our picture made in front of them, some guy said he would take our picture, and we looked very small, and we're not small. We looked very small in front of them, but it was really nice.
Denny, what was your favorite exhibit that you saw out there?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the 9/11 exhibit meant more than probably anything else in there. But another one they had was a room where they had desks set up, and it was called the Decision Making Station or something of the sort like that.
Sure.
And actually, you have a little video screen in front of you, and they ask you questions. They give you they set the stage for certain decisions that you have to make, that George Bush had to make, actually, too. And you get the same information he got ahead of time, and then you get to make the decision to see whether you'd make the same kind of decision he made or whether yours would have been different.
And were they the big major decisions?
Big major decisions that he had to make, yes.
Yeah, you know, that's really not fair, is it? Because we know how it turned out.
Exactly.
And hindsight is 100%, mm-hmm. right?
Well, Bill Clinton went through it, and, you know, he said that his decisions weren't quite the same as George Bush's, but he enjoyed doing it. It was an experience.
Yeah. Now, Joanne, what was your favorite exhibit there?
Well, I, too, enjoyed that. Denny and I worked on that together. We worked in pairs, and I whispered to him. I said, we already know these answers because we know everything he did. So we came up probably with 100% right. But I particularly liked the fact that there were no ropes. There was anything we could touch. Laura Bush said she wanted it to be child-friendly, and it was just friendly to anybody. Everyone we've ever been in, you just couldn't touch things. You couldn't get close, but you could with this library. It was just like he is. He's a friendly person, and he wanted his library to be friendly. But I think the main thing, the one I liked the most and laughed the most at was there was one where the two daughters, Jenna and Barbara, came on a little video when you first entered this exhibit, and they said, we know that you've gone through the whole library and you've seen how our father was president, but we want you to see what kind of humor he had, what a funny person he is. And it was really, it kept us laughing the entire time. They showed pictures of him trying to put on a pair of boots. Somebody had sent him, and he was in the Oval Office, and he lay down on the couch, and he was trying to get the boots on. Apparently, they didn't fit him. I don't know.
Both feet up in the air doing it, you know, just having a good time.
And then some boxer had sent him a robe. Mm-hmm. I think it had his name on the back of it, but it was one of these silky robes like the boxers wear. And he was in the Oval Office once again. Well, he immediately put the robe on. And he wanted somebody to see him who was out in the hall, but he didn't want to get the attention of the media or Secret Service or whatever. And so he was peeking his head out the door with his little legs hanging out from under the robe. And it was really cute. And a lot of other things that they showed, just the humor side of him. And they said he is one fantastic father. So,
well, that's terrific. And now he's a grandfather, too.
And now he's a grandfather. And he did talk about that a lot, too.
I bet he did. Hey, we are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, 448 in the afternoon, coming up at 5 o'clock here. We are having a very interesting time, I think, this afternoon, talking to Joanne Burrows and her husband, Denny, right here on the radio. And, of course, we've been talking about the library, and you were telling me off the air that you actually met President Bush a couple of times anyways.
I did. I met him when he first came to Greenwood when he was campaigning the first time, and I only got just to speak to him that day and get a picture with him, but then we've seen him three other times, well, five counting this last time, but one time Lindsey Graham had him come to Columbia when he was up for re-election. And we were right on the front row. We didn't have seats. We were standing. And when he finished, of course, he came down the front row. And all I had to say was, my son is in Iraq during the surge. And, he, you know, it was the surge that he had authorized. And he heard me say that. And he turned around and came back and talked to me. And I felt like I was just talking to my neighbor or my friend. Such a friendly, just easy to talk to person. He didn't put on airs. He was just really nice. And I was already a fan. He didn't have to do anything to impress me, but but he did.
You know, Denny, you know, just since we are talking about the library, we are talking about former President Bush. What do you think that history's going to show down the road? I mean, President Obama, of course, and the Democrats really have said that everything was set in motion, literally, by mm-hmm. President Bush. What do you think looking forward?
I personally think that history is going to treat him well. Ultimately, we're going to find out that he did a lot more of the right things for the right reasons mm-hmm. than he gets credit for now. He gets mostly credit for doing things for the wrong reasons or doing the wrong things, and I don't, you know, it's just, that's garbage.
Yeah.
I really honestly think history is going to show him as a smart man. He's a super leader. There's no doubt about that. And that's what we need right now more than anything else, is we need somebody who can be a leader for this nation, in which we don't have him.
Absolutely. What other things really impressed you? I know that I've seen the professional photography here of you sitting in the Oval Office behind the Oval Desk, and they each have a picture of it. Denny has one, and Joanne has one. What did you think about the Oval Office, Joanne?
Well, when I was told that it was the same furniture, it was his desk, it was exactly like the Oval Office, exactly the same size, I was most impressed. And I was most impressed, once again, that we could sit on the couch, we could sit at his desk, we could answer the telephone, we could write a note, you know. I felt like, man, I am sitting where President Bush sat for 8 years. And it was fun.
It was fun. You looked like you were really enjoying yourself in that picture.
I was. I enjoyed myself the whole time I was there, even though I had a little sniffle. I just let that go by. And I made sure that, it was just a good trip and just once-of-a-lifetime thing that I'll never forget.
Now, Denny, out of all the things you saw, what really makes you think back to this trip and that you will never forget? Having been at that, we saw pictures of you on Facebook sitting there in the audience. Joanne mm-hmm. did a good job taking pictures and more pictures. But what do you think?
Just the whole trip itself was something memorable. The only thing, only disappointment I had was we didn't get close enough to really be able to see the five living presidents or ex-presidents
sure.
and presidents. That was a disappointment because of where we were, but there were about 8,000 other disappointed people too right along with us. So
y'all went and cried together.
We had a lot of company that day. but we did get to see the Bushes that night at the lighting of the Freedom Hall, and we were fairly close for that. So that was a real positive. But just the whole thing in general, it's a beautiful place and well worth going anytime you get a chance to go. Dallas itself, unless you like museums, there's not that much to do in Dallas that we could find.
Okay.
Of course, we stayed on the little trains, the DART system, the transit system, a good bit of the time.
Sure.
Which was fun in itself. We also got to go to the site where John Kennedy was shot. That was a little side trip that we made. Mm-hmm. You just get off the transit train and you're two blocks away from it.
Wow.
But the whole trip was fantastic. Just a lot of memories there.
Dallas is a very shining city, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But it's J.R. Ewing style.
Yeah.
City.
Did you go there? Did you go to Dallas? J.R. Ewing's.
No. But it's corporate America.
Right.
Bottom line, you can tell all the oil offices and everything else is in Dallas. Those are in Dallas. But honestly, as far as the museum goes, one of the things that caught my eye as much as anything else was the bullhorn that President Bush used when he made the statement, that we hear you, the whole world is going to hear you.
Right, when he was 9/11, when he was up there.
In 9/11, when he was standing on top of the rubble.
Right.
With the firemen and everything.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Now, awesome! Now, let me just ask you one other thing, Joanne. How about the fireworks? You were telling me that was pretty fabulous that night.
Oh, it was. It was just beautiful. It was exciting. We were all just out there, with it. They were just coming down on us. It looked like they didn't come quite that far, but they came out of the top of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, on the inside of Freedom Hall, when you first walk in, pictures of people from all walks of life just start popping up over the top of the building. And
what now?
Just pictures from every nurses, doctors, teachers, policemen, every kind of person, students, any kind. They're just popping up, the pictures of all these different people.
On the wall.
They're just popping up on the wall. And as we went through the building, they took a picture of us, and they said that picture would also pop up on the wall with all of those other people.
And
as people come through the library, their pictures would pop up. It was just something that took your breath away. And then after the pictures popped up, then people would start walking. It looked like they were just walking on the ledge up at the top.
Right.
All walks of life, a fireman and a construction worker, just different kinds of people.
Well, we're talking about Americans?
Americans, yes.
Yes.
And Americans from all countries, who have become Americans, just all walks of life and all different races and beliefs, but all Americans, and it was just something to see.
If there ever was some type of construction that was for the people, this is it. This is for the people.
Now said that y'all had been to the Reagan Museum, and mm-hmm. it just doesn't compare. I mean, nice facility and everything, but doesn't compare. Yeah.
Well, at the Reagan Museum, everything was roped off. You couldn't touch anything. Now, obviously, in the Bush Museum, they had things under glass and things like this that you couldn't touch, documents and such. But there was so much that you could touch and that children could do, punch buttons and all kinds of things.
I think that really has to come from Laura Bush's mm-hmm. influence, because she had been a teacher, and she is the one that I understand really had her finger on everything that happened there.
Yeah, actually, in the program, it listed her as the major person in charge of the whole thing. And like I said earlier, she wanted it to be kid-friendly, and it's friendly. It's just a happy place to go into. And we did go to the Reagan Library, and we've been to the JFK Library in Boston. Both of those are very nice. They're beautiful. The structures are beautiful. But this one was friendly, and it was just a happy place. And we felt it.
I think that has to be Laura Bush's influence
I'm
there.
I'm sure it is, but also he's a happy person.
He's a happy person, too. Okay. Now, what about the gowns? I understand they have a whole display of all of Laura Bush's gowns.
Yes, and I remember seeing her in some of those gowns because, I watched them avidly.
Right.
I tried not to miss a thing the whole 8 years he was president. But, her clothes and his in some cases, and I didn't realize she was actually as small as she is, but they were beautiful gowns.
Yeah.
And there was one that was a little bit wild, but I think somebody had sent it to her from another country.
Right.
And she wore it.
She wore it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's the kind of person she is. Somebody I would probably like if I really knew her.
Now, one of the other things that we haven't hit on, but they have a whole display, don't they, of gifts from foreign dignitaries.
Yes, there's a large mm-hmm. display, including a huge, was it a tiger?
A lion.
Lion. Yeah, a big old lion that was... You walk up and it just looks like it ought to just roar. beautiful silver and all kinds of fancy things that other countries send to presidents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that would be fascinating to see all the different gifts and everything that were sent. So, you know, I just thought this would be neat to sit down and talk to two people that have already toured it. Now, would you recommend, this is a setup question, would you recommend that people go to the library?
I absolutely would.
Yeah.
You will see a lot of history for 8 years and even more, because some of it's when he was governor and that he had some of the things in there. Mm-hmm. And I think when I compare it to the others we've been to, there's no comparison. And I just recommend it. If you're looking for a good place to go, go visit Dallas, mm-hmm. take the DART, and go on into Southern Methodist University and visit the George Bush Library, and you will not be disappointed.
Okay. What do you think, Denny? Yeah.
I'll amen that one,
amen.
Too.
You're the good amen
place.
Chorus here.
And I'm sure Dallas has a lot of stuff that we didn't get to. I wasn't really cutting down Dallas, but we just didn't find a lot of stuff to do, other than they've got a tremendous number of museums. We did pick up on that.
Now, well, how was the food? Trip. Did you have any barbecue or what?
No, and you probably don't want to ask me about the food, because I'm used to South Carolina cooking.
Right. Well, that's why I was thinking we got Dallas here.
Yeah. Well, we weren't too impressed with the food, but then again, we were comparing what we're used to, and it was all right.
It was all right. Okay, the food was all right. Well, everybody always talks about the food. Hey, you know what? It has been a real pleasure to sit down with both of you here today. I'm so glad we got to do this.
Well, thank you so much, Ann. We enjoyed it.
We appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. Sure. We're going to have to close the show out now, but we have been here with Denny and Joanne Burroughs right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. We will be posting the podcast on the website, and Rhea will let you know when it's posted. And, of course, there'll be a video on YouTube. So thanks so much for coming out today.
You're certainly welcome. We enjoyed it.
All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.